I want you to pick your Bibles, pick your tablet, pick your recording material. This 21 days is going to be an empowerment session for you. I believe yesterday most of you were blessed. How many of you were blessed yesterday? How many of you were blessed? Powerful. And I believe where you are part of today's fasting as well. So tonight I want to speak to you on what I have entitled The Pursuit of Intimacy. The Pursuit of Intimacy. The Pursuit of Intimacy. The Pursuit of Intimacy. I have Psalm 91, verse 1. I want us to read from Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. And I want to read from the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Psalm 91, verse 1. If you are there, let me know if you are there. If you are there, say, I am there. If you are there, say, I am there. Psalm 91, verse number 1. Bible says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place
The most
of the
high.
Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I am speaking to you on the pursuit of intimacy. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, secret place of the Most High, the shadow of the Most High, the secret place of the Almighty, the shadows of the Almighty. People of God, there are two key words in this Bible text we just read. And these two key words for me are, in the context of these teachings, are the secret place of the Almighty and the shadows of the Almighty. The secret place of the Almighty and the shadows of the Almighty. One of the greatest longings of God is that his children will have an intimate relationship with him. One of the greatest, passion and longing of God is that his children will have an intimate relationship with him. God expects that his children will come to know him in an intimate way. I know some of you listening to me tonight, by the time we are done with these 21 days, your level of intimacy will be bigger and deeper in depth and in height. Am I talking to somebody? You see, these things are very important. The longer time you spend in the secret place, the longer the shadow stays. The longer time in the secret place, the longer the shadow stays. And the stronger the secret place, the stronger the shadow. And the more you dwell in the secret place, the heavier shadow you carry. Man of God, woman of God, are you looking for shadows? Then you have to go to the secret place. So there are places that people have gone just because they want to move in the supernatural. They want to move in dimensions that they have never experienced before. People want to move into deep dimensions they have never moved before. And they have visited all kinds of things and all kinds of places. Tonight, I'm here to tell you that one of the greatest places you can be to enjoy the shadows of God is the secret place. There is what we call the secret place of God. And there is what we call the shadows of God. Now, before a man can enjoy the shadows of God, the man should have enjoyed the secret place of God. So you cannot fully enjoy the shadows when you have not paid your dues in the secret place. Endowment is only for those who have paid their dues. Endowment of power. The Bible says that you shall be endued with power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Endowment of power is only given to those who have paid their dues. So until you pay your dues in the secret place, you cannot enjoy the shadows of the Almighty. I am speaking to you on the pursuit of intimacy. You see, when you read the Bible, one word for the word shadow, the Bible uses the word shadow. Another word for shadow is defense. When you say shadow, even though we are talking about shadow and shade, but the other meaning of shadow is defense. So when the Bible says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows, we are saying that the person will be defended. In this life, there is a certain realm of defense that comes to people who dwell in the secret place. And I am here to introduce you to the secret place. I want your appetite of intimacy to be lifted up. I want your appetite to be lifted up. I want you to desire God. I want you to desire God that even after this meeting, you want to spend more time with God as never, never before, as never, ever before. So many people are in the Christendom looking for shadows, but they are not ready to take their place in the secret place. And so if you are here tonight, the shadows are talking about defense. The shadows are talking about miracles. The shadows are talking about testimonies. Anybody that enjoys the shadows of God is somebody who is paying the price in the secret place. God is looking for you. Where are you? God is looking for you, woman of God. Where art thou? In the days of Adam and Eve, when Adam had sinned against God, God went to the Garden of Eden and said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" Because Adam had lost his place. Tonight, if you have lost and left the place that is the secret place, may we return after this meeting to the secret place and seek God and dwell in that place until we receive the shadows of the Almighty. And as I speak, by the time I'm done tonight, somebody will receive the shadows of the Almighty God in the name of Jesus. Listen, the Bible spoke about Moses and the secret place. Exodus chapter 33, verse number 21. God told Moses that, "Moses, you want to see my face? You cannot see my face. Anybody that sees my face dies. You can't see the face of God and live." It was almost impossible because Moses had already, you know, was always in the tabernacle. Moses was always up the mountain. Moses was always speaking to God. Moses said, "God, if your presence shall not go with us, then do not tell me to move from here." And God said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then the Bible says that, he said that, how will I know? He said, I will show you my glory. And God said to Moses that, as I show you my glory, I will make my goodness pass before you. And I'll proclaim my name before you, and I'll be gracious unto you, and I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And what blows my mind, God said to Moses, that thou cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. Exodus 33, 20. No man can see my face and live. But when you go to verse 21, the Bible says, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. There is a place by me where thou shalt stand upon the rock. People of God, this is us that God said that Moses was able to speak to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. People of God, there is a place beside God. And God wants you and I to dwell in that place. And I call that place the secret place. So God said to Moses, you cannot see me face to face, but there is a place. There is a place. There is a place. There is a place. You see, I don't know whether you are okay with the Christian life you are living. But a time came where I became fed up. I was tired of going to church every Sunday. I was tired of going to evening services after work. I would go to evening service. It's the normal routine. Opening prayer, they do worship, they sing, the choir will minister, word ministration, we pray, we close, and we go home. And this has become the ritual every day. Sundays will come and go. A time came, I became fed up. I said, God, is this all about Christianity? Is this all about Christ? Is this all we are supposed to do and just die and go like that? Isn't there something bigger than what we are seeing? Isn't there something stronger? Isn't there something more powerful than just going to church and coming, singing in the choir, being an usher, preaching? Isn't there something? I was tired of all these routines. Then I went before the Lord. Oh my God. I remember that day and how God brought me to that place, and God showed me that place that was beside him. This is the same God that spoke to Moses and said, Moses, you want to see my face? Fine, fine, fine. You know that the rule is that no man can see my face. However, if you really want to see my face, then there is a place beside me. There is a place. And if only you can stand upon that rock and stand on that place, then you will see whatever you want to see. My glory will come down and you will see my glory. The cloud will descend and you will see the cloud. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Tonight, you see, I know people who have joined prayer meetings upon prayer meetings. They join online meetings upon online meetings, prophetic meetings upon prophetic meetings, but there is an emptiness in your soul. There is a gap. There is a vacuum. There is an emptiness still in your spirit. There is a place that must be filled. You are not satisfied yet. Is this all about Christianity? You see, after 21 days, what next? The real revival is not what happens these 21 days. The real revival is what happens after we are done. So yesterday when we closed, what happened to you after I preached on the power of consecration? Today, I am preaching on the pursuit of intimacy. What will happen to you after we are done tonight? The real revival, the real power, the real fire is what happens to you after we are done, not what is happening now. These things we are doing is just to bring you to that realization and consciousness of who you are and the place you ought to be. But the real fire, the real revival is what happens after we are done. Oh, oh my God. As I talk to you, you see, the more I see God, the more I want to see God. The more I feel Him, the more I want to feel Him. Anytime I touch Him, the more I want to touch Him. And whenever I see His presence, the more I want to dwell in His presence. That is what we call intimacy. Intimacy. So, what is the secret place? I have three definitions of the secret place. Number one, the secret place is where humanity has appointments, is the place where humanity has appointment with divinity. Number one, the secret place is the place where humanity has appointment with divinity. Number two, it is the time intentionally given to meet God. The secret place is the time intentionally given to meet God. So the first one, it is the place where humanity has appointment with divinity. Number two, it is the time intentionally given to meet God. Number three, it is the man who brings himself to the altar. It is the man who brings himself to the altar of God. So the secret place are three things. Number one, it is the place where humanity has appointment with divinity. Everybody must have a place in their house where they decide to have appointment with God. Everyone listening to me, if you don't have a place where you meet God, then you are out of the secret place. If you don't have a place where you have appointment with divinity, then you are not in the secret place. Number two, the secret place is the time intentionally given to meet God. You must have a time where you intentionally meet God. So if you are listening to me and you don't have a particular time where you meet God, then you are not in the secret place. Number three, it is the man who brings himself to the altar of God. So if you are not, it is the man. It means that everybody listening to me, you should bring yourself to the altar of God. Somebody must not pray for you. The prophet must not pray for you. The pastor must not pray for you. You should bring yourself to the altar. So anytime you are not in, you have not brought yourself to the altar, you are not in the secret place. So it means that the secret place, it is a time, and it is a man. You need, what makes the secret place a secret place is that there is a place, there is a time, and there is a man. Once there is a place, there needs to be a time. And once there is a time, there needs to be a man. There needs to be a man who has identified a place and has apportioned a time to meet God, to have intercourse with God, to have romance with God, to speak to God, to interact with divinity. The secret place is the place, it is the time, and it is the man. And one thing I love about the secret place is that once you enter the secret place, it's no more about the man. It's no more about the time, and it's no more about the place, but it's about God. One of the mysteries is that you need a place, you need the time, and you need a man. But the moment you get the place, and you get the time, and you get the man, it's no more about the place, it's no more about the time, and it's no more about the man. It's all about God. So where you are does not matter. Where you are does not matter. You don't consider the place anymore. You don't consider the time. Some people, when they are in the secret place, every 5 minutes they will check their time. Every 30 minutes they will check their time. When you do that, you are not there yet. It is no more about the man. It's not about you. It's about God. Oh my God. Oh my God, Kadubaya. People of God, when you come, you see, there are three riches of ministration. When I say riches, I'm talking about R-E-A-C-H, to reach something. All of us are trying to reach. We are trying to reach, but there are three riches everybody is trying to do. Number one is what I call the upreach. The upreach is where you are ministering to God. Then we have the inreach. I-N, inreach. Inreach is when we are reaching in among ourselves. So we minister to one another. Then the third one is called outreach. The outreach is when we are ministering to the world. So there is the upreach, there is the inreach, and there is the outreach. Before a man will do the outreach or you do the inreach, you must have the upreach. The upreach is when you are uploading. It's just like you are uploading to a server or you are uploading to a cloud. You are uploading a file. Anytime a man wants to do an effective inreach and outreach, you must first spend time doing the upreach or the upload. You must minister to God. In Acts chapter 13, verse number one, people of God, I came to tell you that God has a need. God has a need. Some people think that God has no need because God has everything in this world. It is not true. When I read Acts chapter 13, verse 1, I realized that God has a need. Verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, as they minister to the Lord, it means that we are not supposed to just minister to ourselves or minister to the world, but we are also supposed to minister to God. God is looking for ministration. Can you imagine when Samuel was put in the house of Eli? The Bible said that every day Samuel was ministering before the Lord. There is what we call ministering to the Lord, and there is what we call ministering to ourselves, and there's what we call ministering to the world. Ministering to God is the outreach, is the upload. Ministering to ourselves is what we call the inreach, and ministering to the world is what we call the outreach. And if you want to do effective, outreach, effective inreach, then you must be an effective upreacher. You must reach out to God. God is looking for people who spend time in His presence ministering to Him. And one of the things you do ministering to the Lord is worship. It's worship. Worship. Whenever you tell God you are great, yes, you are great. You are not elected. There is no impeachment. The government is upon your shoulder, and you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the ruler of rulers, the King of Kings, Ancient of Days. You are the cleft of ages. You are the rock of ages. You are the lily of lilies, the beauty among beauties. You are the God of glory. Your glory is stronger than the seas. Your love is stronger than death. In the skies, you are there. In the seas, you are there. In the depths of the earth, you are there. You are the mighty God, the miracle working God, the healer, the provider, the deliverer, our soon coming King. Anytime you minister to the Lord, what are you doing? You are provoking something in God. This is how intimacy begins. Anytime you see a man married to a woman, and they have an intimate relationship. Intimacy does not just begin overnight, but before intimacy begins, the man or the woman must see the other person and talk to him or her and tell him or her how they feel about each other. And as they speak to each other about how they feel about each other, they enter into a covenant. And as they enter into the covenant, now they graduate into the realm where they enjoy intimacy. Intimacy is not an event. Intimacy is a process. So when you come before the Lord, enter his gate with thanksgiving and enter his court with praise. Password, the password for entering his presence is thanksgiving and praise. So when you come before the Lord in the secret place, you give him the praise, you give him the glory, you give him the worship. As you are doing that, you are romancing God. God has a need, and the need of God is worship. And this is why the Bible says that if men shall not worship me, I will command these stones to even give me praise. People of God, I came to tell somebody tonight that there is a place beside God, and there is a time God wants to meet you, and there is a man God is looking for. Oh, sometimes we have the place, sometimes we have the time, but the man cannot bring himself. Men have become lazy. Men have become procrastinative. Oh, men have not placed God first. Men have become busy here and there. Men has taken God as the second option. And so because of that, men are not able to come before God. Sometimes there is a place and there is a time, but the man cannot bring himself, the woman cannot bring herself. Sometimes too, there is a place and there is a man, but the man cannot obey the time. They say, I will meet God at 12 midnight, but when it is 12 midnight, they cannot wake up and meet God. Sometimes they say, I will meet God at 4 a.m., but when it is 4 a.m., they cannot meet God. Sometimes they will say, the next 21 days, I am fasting and praying and waiting on God. But when the time is due, they cannot fast and pray. So sometimes there is a place, sometimes there is a man, but the man cannot meet the time, honor the time. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I came here to tell you that God is looking for you. God wants an intimate relationship with you. Am I talking to somebody tonight? You see, there are three benefits of the secret place. Number one, anytime you dwell in the secret place, the first thing you get is that you receive fire. You receive fire. Number two, you get intimacy. Number three, you get revelation. Anytime you are in the secret place, three things happen. Number one is fire. Number two, intimacy. Number three, revelation. As long as you are in the secret place, what happens to you is that your fire is rekindled. Your fire keeps ablaze. Oh, sometimes the reason why your fire is too low is because you don't have time, and you don't have a place, and you don't bring yourself before God. And so that is why your fire is quenched. So anytime you are in the secret place, the first benefit is that your fire burns, your fire is set ablaze. Number two is that you become intimate with God. I will talk more about it. And number three is that you receive revelations. You receive revelations from God. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 18, look at what the Bible said. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 18. The Bible says that who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it. You see, God was ministering to the prophet. He said, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? God has a counsel. God has a counsel. And if you look at the Hebrew word of that word counsel, it is talking about the word called sword, S-O-D. And that word sword, which is counsel, is talking about a session, a company of people who are in close deliberations, people who are in intimacy, who are in a secret assembly, who are in a consultative meeting. That is what we mean by counsel. And God says that who has stood in the counsel of the Lord. And he said that, and who has heard his word. In other words, when you stand in the counsel of the Lord, you receive revelation. That is one of the secrets of prophets. Prophets stand in the counsel of the Lord. And because they stand in the counsel of the Lord, they are able to receive the word of God. Oh, intimacy. Intimacy. As I speak to you, I don't know whether your desire for intimacy is building up. Whether your desire for intimacy is building up. Intimacy is oneness with God. What is intimacy? Intimacy is oneness with God. Number two, intimacy is being current, being recent, being active and constant in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Being current, being recent, being active and constant in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It is the act and character of throwing yourself at His presence and staying there. It is when you unlocking your expression in His presence passionately. Intimacy is living in constant pursuit of proximity with celestiality. Intimacy is falling in love with God and staying in love. Intimacy is daily desiring to know Him more. Paul said that I may know Him. Daily, it's a daily thing. You daily desire to know Him more. That is intimacy. Intimacy. There's a story about Ruth and Naomi. When Naomi was going back to the land of bread, Bethlehem, the Bible says that Naomi had two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah and Ruth were crying. They said, Naomi, we will not let you go. We will go with you. And Naomi said, no, 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 get back. You can't go with me. I am aged. I am grown. Even if God gives me children, will you wait for the children to grow and marry them? Go back home. Go back. And the Bible says, Orpah kissed Naomi, cried a little, and left. But the Bible says, but Ruth cleaved unto Naomi. Ruth did not leave. Orpah kissed Naomi and left. But Ruth cleaved. God is not looking for kisses, because not every kisser is a cleaver. Ruth cleaved unto Naomi. God is looking for cleavers. The Bible says, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall join himself to his wife, and he shall cleave himself unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The word cleave means that you become one in spirit and in soul. And this is why Ruth said, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I shall be buried. Because Ruth understood cleaving. There are too many kisses and too little few cleavers. There are so many of us, we have taken the presence of God. We kiss God and we leave. Oh, God, good morning. How are you? I'm stepping out. Take care of the day. And bam, they are gone. They are kisses. God is looking for cleavers and not kisses. Am I talking to somebody? It is time to turn your phone aside and spend time in the presence of God. The pursuit of intimacy. You see, the apostles are, this is the last statement I'm going to make, then I'm done. The apostles of Jesus were walking with Jesus in the flesh. These are men who directly sat under the feet of Jesus in the flesh and in the spirit. These are men who had firsthand lectures from Jesus. But when Jesus was leaving, Jesus told them that do not leave Jerusalem, but tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. Tarry, wait for the presence, stay in the presence until you are endued with power. So it is good to be schooled in divinity. It is good to have masters in theology, eschatology, pneumatology. All these things, theology is good. But you must understand that there is nothing greater than spending time in the secret place. It is time for some of us to put our phones aside because God has been asked, God is looking for you. Sister, you have been praying and say, God, my marriage. Meanwhile, you don't have a place, you don't have a time, and you are not bringing yourself to the altar. You spend more time on the phone than on the throne. This is why you are not seeing the God of the throne bringing, answers to your questions, because you spend time, more time with people than with God. Oh, I don't know whether I'm talking to somebody tonight. I don't know whether I'm talking to somebody tonight. Gone were the days you were on fire. Where is the fire? Gone were the days you could hear the voice of God. What has happened to you? Oh, sister, there is no more time. There is no more time. One of the things about healing room, I've been telling God that these 21 days, I don't want to be preaching things that people want to hear. I want to bring people closer to God. One of the assignments God is giving me these 21 days is that he said, I should bring the people to you, him. He said, pull them closer, bring them to me. It's not about EOD. It's not about me. It's not about Emmanuel Chidako. It's about God. Listen, young woman, young man, how old are you now? How old are you? You have only one life to live. And as I speak, by this year, by either you have celebrated your birthday or you are about to celebrate your birthday, and you are not growing younger. You are aging. You are aging. When are you going to make full proof of your calling and your ministry? You have only one life to live, and you are aging. When are you going to pay the price and grow, pursue intimacy? You are aging. Last 2 years, you were 30 years. Today, you are 32. Some years back, you were just 25. Now you are 35. Some years back, you were just 30 years, but now you are 45. You are aging, sister. When are you going to pursue God? You are aging. Very soon you will die and go. What will you be remembered for? What will your family remember you for? What will generations you are living in remember you for? If God will not use you, why did he call you? If God will not use you, why did he call you? I am looking for men. You see, I am tired of churches that are lukewarm. I go to church, I close, I come back home. No, if this is all about Christianity, then there is nothing nice about it. It's better I worship other idols, and it's better I worship other gods. But if this is all about Christianity, then there is nothing sweet about it. Oh, but I've been told that our God is a consuming fire. I've been told that He's the one yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have been told that this God is able to use men. He used Samuel. Samuel was just a small boy. He used Anna. Anna was an old woman. All these two people were prophets. One was a woman, one was a man. One was young, one was old. It means that God can use you, whether you are a man or you are a woman, whether you are young or you are old. Today, God is calling you to the place of intimacy. Oh, it's the same. It doesn't matter where you are right now. People of God, you need fire. You need fire, and you need some level of fire. As a believer, you cannot make impact without fire. There is a certain level of impact you cannot make if you are not carrying fire. Tonight, as I bring this sermon to a close, I want you to come back to the place place of the secret place. Until you dwell in the secret place, you cannot enjoy the shadow of the Almighty God. Listen, it's not about the place where you are. Electricity in the village is the same as is the same electricity in the city. 100 watts of electricity in Accra is the same as 100 watts of electricity in Banjarsi. 100 watts of electricity in Ghana is the same as 100 watts of power in UK. The energy is the same. So it does not matter where you are. Your location is not supposed to define you. Where you are is not an excuse. If only you can generate power, if only you can generate the fire by going back to the place, the secret place, and dwelling there, and staying there, and looking for God, and falling in love with Him, and seeking Him. Sometimes we go to God, it's all about what we want. It's all about what we want. I want money. I want business. I want to travel. I want my visa. I want this marriage. God has nothing to do. You see, it's all about what you want. You have become a selfish sister, a selfish daughter of God. You have become a selfish man. God has no stake in your life. And this is why you are not seeing God. Because God is not interested in people who just come to Him for things. God must be sought for. He is the one we must seek. Once you seek God and His righteousness, then all the other things shall be added unto you. Just 21 days. I know you are looking for things. These 21 days, I know you want healing. I know you want the touch of God. I know you want a miracle. I know you want a testimony. Oh, but the Bible says that seek ye, oh God, and His kingdom, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you need. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you are in need of all these things. However, seek God. The equation should not be turned around. This is the standard. This is the formula. This is the standard. You cannot change the formula. You cannot change the formula. If you make an attempt to change the formula, you will get a different result. And the result will not be the right result. People of God, the result is that you must seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness. Then all these things that you need shall be added unto thee. We are not supposed to be running after goodness and mercy, but goodness and mercy are supposed to be following you day by day. Favor locates you day by day. Healing locates you day by day. Miracles and testimonies, not the tired Jesus, they must follow you day by day. Why? Because you are a God lover. You are a God chaser. You are a God seeker. You are a God lover. You are a God romancer. Tonight, are there people who want to go intimate with God? The next 10 minutes, 15 minutes of prayer, there is only one prayer topic, and that prayer topic is God. We are not praying about anything. The only prayer topic is God. The God, what is the prayer topic? God, G-O-D. Oh, God, you are all I need. You are all I want. You are all I'm looking for. You are all I desire. As the deer pants for the waters, soul, my soul longs after you. He didn't say so, my soul longs after your miracle or your power. There are some of us, we are here for prophecy. But tonight, if you can turn it around, look for God, and the things you are looking for will look for you. I came to tell somebody, what you are looking for is looking for you. If only you can seek God. What is the prayer topic tonight? The prayer topic is God. G-O-D, God. I want you to, at this moment, where are the God chasers? As I speak, some of you, you are crying. Some of you, you begin to weep. Some of you, you are crying. It's been a long time you cried in church. You have been a child of God for over 20 years. You have never shed tears in the presence of God. You don't remember the last time you even went before God and you sobbed You don't remember the last time you went before God and you cried. I am here to tell you tonight, I want you to cry unto God like a baby. I want you to call to God and say, God, I have been far away, but tonight I want a place and I want a time and I bring myself to the altar. God, the place of intimacy, you are all I want. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs after thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. My soul longeth after thee. My soul pants after thee. I want to begin to voice, begin to pray in the name of Jesus. This is our prayer topic. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. You are all I need. Oh, draw me closer to you. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Talk to God and say, God, draw me nearer. God, bring me closer. Can I hear you pray, somebody? Can I hear you pray? 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 Can I hear you pray, somebody?
With your very self, you are the only one that we need, Lord. You are the one that we need, Lord.
Lift up your voice.
And so the